Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. Wednesday, December 30th, and you know what I realized, guys? I haven't been saying the date that much. I'm bringing it back.
Wow. Well, it's good that, you know, the last 3 days of our show.
The living, walking, breathing calendar. Animes.
Exactly. People need to know these things, guys. Well, anyway, welcome to the show. It's Fantasy Football Today. We are going to take a lot of your questions, emails, and tweets. It's a fun mailbag show. You want to know what our favorite pizza toppings are, if David Johnson is a top 10 pick next year, why Dave likes Jeremy Maclin so much, etc. We've got a whole bunch of them, and we look forward to reading them. We'll also break out the trustometer, and talk about Chip Kelly. Let's start with that. Chip Kelly was fired, guys.
He was actually released.
He was fired.
What's the thing you
That's
remember?
Not according to the press release.
What's the thing you remember most about Chip Kelly's tenure?
What's the highlight?
Yeah.
There's so many.
The first year.
The first game against Washington.
What moment? Give me a moment. Dave has a moment.
Yeah, fine. That first game against Washington where they're driving, and then Michael Vick throws a pass that's basically a lateral, and D'Angelo Hall comes up with it and runs it back for a touchdown.
I don't have a moment that sticks out.
A moment like this.
It's getting rid of all stupid players. What an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with him trading LeSean. It's what he got for LeSean. And I think losing Deshaun and Maclin, he should have kept at least one of them. He couldn't replace anybody.
He couldn't replace anybody.
He replaced an expensive running back with an even more expensive running back who couldn't do what he wanted to do. Part of the reason why we didn't like him. And it was a guy who had a ton of work the year before. And then he replaced his receivers, who were qualified, capable NFL receivers, and they're proving that, with Nelson Aguilar.
You know, I think what's really interesting is, did the league catch up to the offense, or did they just not
it
have...
It did. You can tell that the first game against Dallas, they absolutely caught up.
Well, yeah, or is it just not as good of a team? Like, if they had Deshaun Jackson, or if they had Jeremy Maclin, or if they had LeSean McCoy... Would they still be operating?
Yeah, I mean, they're an execution-style offense. The whole idea is to do, like, five things.
The offense was never that good. He got a lucky season with Nick Foles, a 35 passes that should have been intercepted that went for touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, it was a joke.
No, I don't agree with that, because they were good.
Well, you can agree with all you want to.
The bottom line is that he did win 10 games twice.
Oh, he's a good coach.
Right, he's not a GM.
No, he's not a genius either.
No, wait a second.
These guys are.
You can't just dismiss what he did offensively. I mean, he had Nick Foles, for crying out loud. He never had a good quarterback. And the first 2 years, it wasn't just 1 year. The first 2 years, they had a good offense. So I mean, you can't just sit here and say the offense was never good or whatever you just said. I think that's dismissing.
That's right. A myth.
I don't agree with that, really. But, you know, the fact that Bill Lazor had such a bad year this year as Miami's offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes
the people suggesting that he's going to Miami. That's not even remotely happening.
No, I mean, maybe the Hurricanes. Before. I was
hoping a little late for that now.
Yeah, I was hoping a few months ago.
A better idea than Rick is for the Hurricanes. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Do you think it'll be Tennessee?
I think it's possible that he becomes a head coach again very quickly.
I wouldn't be surprised with Tennessee. I mean, there's a lot of things that make sense. They could use somebody that's innovative. Clearly, he's got some. Of that, they could use somebody that's got an offensive mind. He has that. He has a relationship with the quarterback, so you can cultivate that.
I kind of don't want to see Mariota in that offense, though. Like, I've enjoyed watching Mariota play this year in a non-Chip Kelly-style offense. Like, the fact that he proved that he could do it.
But what would be the problem with him in that offense?
I'm just worried about him getting beat up, because we've seen it from quarterbacks.
I don't know.
That they get beat up. Don't want to see Mariota off the field. It would be the best quarterback that Kelly would have.
Yeah.
In the NFL. And college, same guy.
Yeah. All right, well, Pat Shurmur's going to take over. He's going to coach the team. Oh, you know what? I just realized I bonanzaed Chip Kelly.
You did.
You got a few tweets on that last night.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. But yeah, I bonanzaed Chip Kelly. How about that? Nobody gets fired the week before the season ends until somebody calls a bonanza on their game.
So, not just somebody, you. Do you think Chip Kelly's going to have to, like, completely change his system?
No,
ends up back.
He's too stubborn to do that.
Big Lazor. He wants to be a coach, not a GM. He's going to do what he does.
No, but everybody caught up to what he does as a coach. I feel like he's got to change things around.
I think it's all personnel. When he had players, his offense was good. When he doesn't have players, his offense stinks.
So Do you worry at all about the Eagles' offense this week, or you still think it'll be a high-scoring game?
Well, unless the Giants get Lawrence Taylor to come out of retirement, reattach the fingers to JPP, I don't think it's going to happen.
By the way, I'm looking at the Mike Tyson vibe you just sent me. That's hilarious stuff. Have you seen what little Mac... Dave, maybe you have kids who might be playing... Do they play video games?
Yes.
Have you seen what little Mac looks like now in like Smash Brothers or whatever? These new...
No.
He's like really cool looking. Like, it doesn't really do justice to the little nerd that you fought with in Punch-Out in the original.
Well, because he became a world champion. Of course he's going to look cool.
And it went to his head with Al Roker training him?
Yes.
All right, Gus Bradley's going to return for another season in Jacksonville. We'll get to the news and notes a little bit later. I want to look, just because it's Wednesday, we normally do this, so let's do it again. The most added list here. And look, you're talking about guys who are going up 1% or maybe 2%, but... Mike Gillisley, it's a lot of the guys we talked about yesterday. Gillisley is the most added player. He's now 16% owned. Matt Ryan is, he was available in 14% of leagues. Now he's available in 13% of leagues. He's got the
matchup. He's gonna, you know, have one of those, remember Eli Manning against Philly a couple years ago?
With like four or five touchdowns or whatever?
Yeah, and then it was like, wow, maybe he's gonna be good next year. And it gets overdrafted. Cause that's what's gonna happen this weekend.
Yeah, if they bring in another receiver,
He's still good, but he's going to get overdrafted if he has a...
I want to know what type of offense he's
monster game.
Is he going to be in Kyle Shanahan's offense where he's a mess and he doesn't know what he's doing, or is he going to be in something he's more familiar with?
I would imagine he's in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Well, then he's going to suck.
Well, sometimes it takes a while in a new offense, you know? It took a while for Carson Palmer, it took a while for Eli Manning, but they grasp the offense eventually and they kind of take off in their second year. Or am I making that up?
No, I mean, Carson Palmer did a pretty good job his first year under Arian.
I think Arian said it took him like 8 games.
The end of the season, he was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't really happened. Remember Ryan now, has it? Some other guys on the most added list that we didn't talk about, because the Colts are on there, Zach Ertz, Zach Miller, Brian Hoyer. But Teddy Bridgewater at the Packers and Dan Bailey, who's been kicking a lot of field goals lately. Dan Bailey is on the most added list. It is a boring list, and I apologize, but... anything to say about Dan Bailey or Teddy Bridgewater this week?
They're football players.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know who's going to feel comfortable starting Bridgewater.
Why would you have to?
You don't. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm seeing Antonio Gates on the most drop list, but we talked about with Ladarius Green going on IR. What do you think about Gates this week against Denver?
Aside for like the most drop player with like 200 other players.
I'm fishing here, Dave. It's not easy.
Please read every player that's been dropped in 1% of leagues. I think this gives you a pretty clear indication of how many leagues actually play into week 17.
Well, anyway, what do you think about Antonio Gates?
He's a football player.
He's a low-end starting option this week.
Would you start Zach Ertz over him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Would you start Zach Miller over him?
Yes. Yep.
All right, let's go to the notes. Andrew Luck has not been cleared to play. It does not look like he will play this weekend. A.J. McCarron has a sprained left wrist.
You mean the fact that they've signed 14 quarterbacks this week?
So who's it going to be?
They basically sent out an APB for anybody who's ever thrown a football.
I've thrown one. I didn't get it.
Like, I wonder if they tried to get Jim Harbaugh to come down from Michigan to try out.
Did Michigan play yet? Their bowl game? Anyone know? I don't think they have, unless they played yesterday.
Did Michigan play their bowl game? No, they played New Year's Day against Florida, where they're going to beat them by 3 touchdowns.
Oh, that's right. A.J. McCarron has a sprained left wrist. He is expected to play. Denver is sticking with Brock Osweiler this week against the Chargers. Carolina hopeful about getting Jonathan Stewart back, according to ESPN. They face Tampa Bay.
He didn't practice on Wednesday, so not off to a great start.
New England left tackle Sebastian Vollmer not expected to play this week, but is expected to return for the postseason. They are at Miami, and Miami is going to beat them. And then William Hayes.
You're crazy.
I don't think they're going to beat them, but what's the line? Do we know?
Eight and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take the Dolphins.
All right. What's the bet?
Yeah, I agree with Jamie. I don't think they
8.5 is a lot on the road.
They're coming off a loss. They're playing a division rival. They need to win to clinch home field advantage.
Oh, yeah, fine. But 8.5 is a lot.
And then listen, I agree that the offensive line is a huge issue, but they've had a week to work.
The Dolphins' offensive line is a huge issue.
All right.
Give me a little bit of, give me time to just to check on Tannehill. That's all I ask.
What are you going to do? You're going to make a call?
Yeah, I'm going to see. I'm going to check my sources in Miami. William Hayes, St. Louis defensive end. He does not believe in dinosaurs. Fun article on ESPN.com. He says, quote, "No, I don't believe dinosaurs existed. Not even a little bit. With these bones, it's crazy because man has never seen a dinosaur. We can agree on that, right? But we know exactly how to put these bones together. I believe there is more of a chance you will find a mermaid than you will a dinosaur because we find different species in the water all the time. I don't understand how Chris Long just believes in dinosaurs. That's just crazy to me. We know they died. We know what a T-Rex eats. That don't sound crazy to you. We have never seen a dinosaur before, but we know exactly where every single rib was and which rib goes where. That's crazy to me."
First of all, anybody that's watched The Wiggles knows that dinosaurs exist because there's Dorothy the dinosaur.
First of all, anybody that's still listening to our show right now, congratulations.
Don't be like that. You know we have a loyal listener base. They listen all throughout the year.
Story you just read. Tom Brady is 364 yards away from 5,000. Thinks he goes after that?
Sure.
Maybe. I can't
see. Who's he throwing to?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, that's well, we said that last week, and it turned out.
No, you said that last week. I didn't say that last week. I was nervous about him last week.
Oh, okay. But this week, you're ready to go with him.
It's the Dolphins. They stink.
Yeah, it's true. Listen,
I guess the Jets is a different story.
You remember the Eagles beat the Patriots, right? Like, you've seen football before. You know that crazy things happen.
Yes, I've seen I saw the Eagles beat the Dolphins. I'm sure that the Patriots beat the Patriots. I'm sure that the Patriots are going to have all those special teams mistakes again.
Look, I'm just like, why is this so hard to believe? You would have said the same thing to me last week in week one. You know, obviously the Dolphins are in better shape last year in week one than they are right now, but nobody would have picked the Dolphins to beat the Patriots, and they beat the Patriots.
No,
2 years
but
ago,
last year would, or in that scenario, it's more realistic.
Of course it's more realistic. That's why they're 8.5-point home underdogs. But these things happen.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that I think the Dolphins might give them... I mean, I'm kind of backing off of it a little bit, but I think it's closer than you guys think. Put it that way. A lot closer.
I don't think it's going to be 44-3.
No, but 44-10.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like 31-21.
All right, do you expect...
It'll be close, but I think the Patriots can win by 10. Maybe even 2 touchdowns.
Do you expect the following players in Week 17? Dez Bryant against Washington.
Nope.
Alshon Jeffrey against Detroit.
Nope.
LeSean McCoy against the Jets. TJ Yeldon at Houston.
Nope.
Tyler Eifert against Baltimore.
Nope.
Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola.
We'll see. They're probably going to be limited in practice all week and then ruled out. So let's just say nope.
Marshawn Lynch at Arizona.
Why would they? There's actually, I read a regular bettor on Twitter suggested yesterday that the reason why the line went up on the Cardinals Seahawks game is because it is expected that the Seahawks will rest some players.
Interesting.
I would imagine that Marshawn would be one of them, but they might start resting all their starters. I don't know why they would do that.
Because they're only playing for the 5 and the 6 seed, right?
Right. They cannot host a playoff game.
So it's a matter of going to Green Bay or Minnesota.
Versus Washington.
I don't think they're afraid of going to Minnesota, but who wants to go to Lambeau?
I mean, my guess is they're not afraid of going to anywhere. I mean, I understand your point, but I would imagine that at this point they'd rather be healthy going into that game as opposed to where they're going.
Yeah. All right, and what about Sean Drone? You expect him?
He might. That backfield is going to be a mess because they might activate Mike Davis, who's been on the short-term IR. And so I would imagine if he's active, they probably want to see what he can do. So I don't want any part of Dewan Harris, Sean Drone, or Mike Davis if he's active.
Okay, a reminder, Fantasy Football Today is presented by Snickers, and Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. Time for some emails and tweets, and then we'll break out the Trustometer a little bit later. All right, from Pete Farmer, is David Johnson a top 10 pick in 2016?
I think he will be.
Yeah, he should be.
Jamie and I were talking about him as number one overall on Sunday, but that was from you and Dave were talking about that, right?
I think that was part of the conversation. We were talking about in the green room that is, has he done enough to maybe be put in the conversation? I don't think anybody would do it, but he's certainly a top 10 overall pick by far.
All right, Carlos, why is Dave Richards so high on Jeremy Maclin this week in PPR? Do they still have something to play for in Kansas City?
Yeah, they can win the division.
Right.
They need to win, and Denver needs to lose. Jeremy Maclin will play a decent amount.
Yeah, Andy Reid's kind of hinted that they may not, which is weird.
Man, we got to keep an eye on this stuff.
We can keep an eye on it, but I don't understand why he wouldn't want to win this game.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it makes sense that he should, but there was a story.
Does he want to win and then pull back the starters? Because that would make sense once you have a lead against Oakland.
Right, and the game's the same time, right?
Actually, I don't think so. I think Kansas City goes first, and then Denver plays.
So then Denver could risk it.
Potentially.
If Kansas City loses.
Oh, no, Denver's going for the one.
Nope, I'm wrong. Denver plays, or they both play at 425. They have to play. It would be dumb of him to sit everybody at this point.
Yeah. Are they locked into?
No, they're not.
No, no. I know that. But if they get a wild card, are they locked into a particular spot? Like if Denver wins, is Kansas City locked into the five as opposed to the six?
They would be the higher wild card spot.
So that would be five.
Yeah.
They're going to be ahead of Pittsburgh or the Jets, whoever it ends up being.
Yeah. I'll read you what Andy Reid said, which will be more interesting than the dinosaur story. Andy Reid was 100% clear when talking to reporters on Monday. The Chiefs were playing to win against the Raiders because Reid said he didn't know all the scenarios. Okay, so maybe he didn't know at the time. So you're trying to win this game on Sunday. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. You're not going to play as if the San Diego game a couple years ago. I don't know all the scenarios. You clinch the AFC West. Yes, we're going to get ourselves ready to play Oakland.
Wait, you think that the way you read that was more interesting than the dinosaur story? At least I committed to it. I did.
I'm trying to find the interesting part. I didn't memorize the whole dinosaur story.
You should have come prepared to read Andy Reid's presser.
Okay, you want me to start over again?
Not really.
All right.
I do.
So is that a yes or a no? That's a yes. Can I get a sandwich?
Okay, they're not locked into anything because, like, theoretically, the Jets could win and the Chiefs could lose, and then the Chiefs would be the sixth seed, pending what happens in. Oh no! If the Jets win, the Steelers are eliminated, right?
If the Jets win, the Steelers are eliminated, yes.
Yeah, so if the Jets and the Chiefs have the same record, they're both 10-5. If the Jets win and the Chiefs lose, then the Jets would be the 5 seed and the Chiefs would be the 6 seed. So they're not locked into anything, and they need to win. I think you definitely want to be the 5 seed playing Houston.
Yeah.
No, sorry, the six seed. Okay, no. The 5 seed plays Houston, the 6 seed would play the 3 seed, which would be Cincinnati or Denver. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry for thinking out loud. Next question. Carlos from Los Angeles, a Los Angeles suburb, Dave, 15 miles south of downtown.
That might be Compton.
Oh, all right. What are your thoughts about starting
a
wide receiver and a tight end from the same team for week 17? In this case, Kelce and Macklin over Gates or Zach Miller. So basically, Kelce, Gates, Zach Miller. Who would you start?
Miller.
Yep.
Okay. This is from Devin, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but it looks like Fond du Lac, but I can't imagine.
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac, okay. Wisconsin. He says, dear Poe, Finn, and...
Wait, isn't that Canada?
No.
No.
It says
it's
Wisconsin.
Near Canada.
No, according to Heath, Wisconsin is Canada.
Oh, yeah. he says, dear Poe, Finn, and Kylo. Anyone know them?
I do.
You know who they are. Stop it.
No, I really don't.
Take a guess.
New Star Wars character.
Or just tell them.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't have gotten that. All right. So Devin has been stashing Julian Edelman. I have Julio Robinson, AJ Green, and John Brown, so I don't think I'll be playing Edelman even if he plays this week. Can I safely drop Julian Edelman and not worry about my opponent using him against me?
I'd wait, just in case. But I think you can expect Edelman to be iffy even if he plays.
It would be interesting to see if they just get him out there just to see how he does in game action before their first playoff game, but that's not typically something Bill Belichick worries about.
If they have a first round bye, they can simulate it somehow
in practice.
That's okay. They don't have to put him out there in a game against Miami.
Here's one from Julian Alexander. What are each of your guys' favorite toppings to put on pizza, and what movie are you most looking forward to in 2016?
Jamie and I are going to have the same answer for the movie. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Yes. That and Superman versus Batman.
Starring Lex Luthor.
I really don't know any other movies that are coming out in 2016.
Well, my God. Suicide Squad, Deadpool, the prequel to Harry Potter. There's a Star Wars movie coming out, but it's not like in the actual like lineage of Star Wars. It's it's the Rogue One, where it takes place between episodes 3 and 4. That's coming out next year. It's going to be a great year for movies.
Did you
the Atomizer story.
Did you guys like Star Wars?
Teen Wolf 12?
Teen Wolf 12.
Teen Wolf 12.
Actually, it's called Teen Boy.
What did you guys like the new Teen Boy? What a dumb guy.
You're not even a wolf. You're just hairy.
So did you guys like the new Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Okay. And what are your favorite toppings to put on pizza?
I'm obviously boring in this regard, so probably the only thing that I'll do is like veggie or mushroom.
Go ahead and guess mine.
Sausage.
sausage,
yeah.
Pepperoni.
Will you tell everybody about your Hawaiian pizza?
Sure. I've ordered pizza with pineapple and sausage or pineapple and meatball just to not have pineapple and ham. This was a long time ago. I was in an experimental time in my life. And it actually wasn't as bad as it sounds. But if you've ever had actual Hawaiian pizza, replacing the ham with something else, it's not that bad.
Why would that be
bad? You have to like pineapple a lot to put it on pizza.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love Hawaiian pizza.
Did you ever tell a story about, without naming the name of the company, your horrible pizza experience that you had this year or last year?
Sure. So we ordered. I'll tell you what. We'll call it Cheapies pizza. Yeah. We ordered there's two horrible experiences. The first one involved a pretzel crust.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Oh, you were still here for that, right?
I actually liked the pretzel crust.
The first bite, it was so great. And then by the time I had finished the slice, I was ready to go to the ER.
He was sweating. It was so funny.
Well, it's not just that one. Cheapies also made a deep dish mega bacon style pizza where like bacon was everywhere. And Mikey brought in like two pies. And so I had a square of that pizza. And again, first bite, oh my God, it was phenomenal.
No, that I disagree with. That was disgusting right from the jump.
Right. Well, by the time I was like halfway done with the slice, I was sweating and I did not feel good in my stomach. I don't think did I finish eating the slice?
I don't know.
I don't know if I did, which is rare for me. And, I could not pick up even another one and there was just grease everywhere. So I hope you're happy, Cheapies.
Yeah, that was
your warm
that was
and
rough.
Available pizzas.
I like mushrooms, by the way, if I had to choose one thing. All right, Ryan Browers. Drafting, playing in season for a total points league versus head-to-head. What do you guys prefer? I guess, what are your overall thoughts? Total points versus head-to-head.
Total points is a waste of time.
Unless you figure out a way to reward. I've played in a combination of this, where you play head-to-head, and if you finish in the top six, you get a bonus win.
Well, if it's head to head, then that's head to head with the,
with like a point. Yeah. Well, but that's the combination of the two. So that way, if I'm head to head against you and I score the second most points of the week, but you get the most, I lose in our head to head, but we both still get an extra win because we both scored a lot of points. And I don't have a problem with that. It's a little complicated to figure out, but I don't like just total points from week to week. Unless there's wins involved. For example, you take out the head to head part of what we just said. 10 guys in the league, the top five point scorers get a win, the bottom five get a loss. I guess I'm okay with that, but I think the whole point of fantasy is that head-to-head and the fact that you're taking on your buddies or your coworkers.
It's not roto.
Right. And doing it the other way, it's kind of sort of roto. I hate the one where it's just points for the whole year.
Yeah, that's awful.
Where there are no wins, there are no losses, just each week you accumulate points and points and points. Well, what if you did a terrible job drafting and adding players off the waiver wire and you're in last? And you're 300 points behind first place, you're going to quit on that.
I'll tell you, I did one of those. I don't know how it finished.
Well, I did a baseball league where we did a normal league. We had 16 teams. We had four divisions. Division winners went to the playoffs. The next four best records went to the playoffs, whatever it was. But at the end of the year, the points leader, or I guess at the end of the regular season, the points leader, whether or not that guy made the playoffs or not, was given a certain percentage of the pot. So that's one way to do it.
And we did that in our 18-team league, too. Yeah. We gave a prize for the points leader.
Yeah, I think you have to have enough money in the pot, and it was 16-team league, 18-team league, you will, to do that. But, rewarding someone who's the points leader is good. But, play fantasy. Play head-to-head. All right, anyway, mid-major Matt. Do you think it's better to do fab budget or plain old free agents instead of waivers?
I need to work on my fab strategy because I had a hard time with fab this year.
What do you mean?
Well, I felt like I felt like I couldn't get anybody I really wanted unless I purposely overbid.
In every league or the leagues with us?
Leagues with us. Because those are the only ones where I had the fab.
Mm.
So, like, we had $150 to spend and there's 18 teams in the league. You're not going to get anybody unless you dump, like, at least half your budget.
I think that playing in a waiver wire fashion, well, first of all, playing with the straight up free agency is, you know,
terrible.
Where
you just go at any time?
At least before waivers run at least once on Tuesday night.
Like, I mean, there was a league I was in this year where you could pick up players on Sundays during the games if you want.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but
I couldn't stand that.
Like the waiver wire system where the worst record gets the priority is a little archaic to me and I hate it. You know, and I took advantage of it in the Fantasy Football Today League. I had a good team, not a great team for most of the year, and I was able to pick up D'Angelo Williams and he helped me big time win the championship. And I'm not complaining for that, but I just don't think it's right. I think fab is the way to go. Give everybody the same opportunity to get all the players that are available, and you have to manage your money. You have to manage your budget. $0 bids are important, so allow those to happen. And, I'm tired. It's not like I hate it or anything, but I'm tired of the waiver wire process. I'm tired of bad teams stockpiling like the best player every week and eventually building like a team of really, really good players. They didn't earn that. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so what would be your fab strategy? Because I'm thinking that I'm going to go after cheap players every week for a buck or two, and then when I really need somebody, I'll unload.
Yeah.
So I'm either bidding like 40 or 50% of my budget or like pennies on the dollar.
I had a conversation with somebody that's a very serious fantasy player, and he said it's kind of the same for fab and for waivers. Like he said, and this is kind of the way I usually approach it, is I'm going after guys every week, you know, not necessarily dollar guys, but like if there's somebody that I like, obviously I'm we're all tied into it, but sometimes I get a little over excited with some of the waiver wire stuff because I'm staring at it so much from Monday to Tuesday. That, you know, he was saying like in his league, this is where waivers, you know, you once you add drop a guy, you go to the back of the line. You know, you have to wait to move up unless you keep making moves. So it's that's what waivers don't reset.
Right.
And so, you know, he said like he would just every week he's picking up guys, and he said there was a guy in his league that just kept waiting. And so like he was able to get David Johnson at toward the end, or, you know, I guess the middle, whatever, you know, Chris Johnson got hurt. And he got somebody else early in the season. You know, maybe it was D'Angelo Williams at what point, you know. So it's like, is the better strategy to be aggressive on it and, you know, hopefully you hit on somebody, or is it to wait to get to the top and, or, you know, save your money in that regard too?
Well, do you recall how much Dante Moncrief went for in our league? Remember in week one, or I guess week two, you know, I can look it up. And in our podcast league, it was like $50 or something. And we kind of made fun of the owner who did it, but it actually turned out to be pretty smart until Luck got hurt.
And that's a 14-team league, you know, so pickings are a little slimmer.
One thing you have to keep in mind with fab is that you can spend more early because toward the end of the year, guys whose teams aren't doing well, they're not as aggressive. In the playoffs, you don't need as much fab. So I'm fairly aggressive, but I really like, even if a guy, okay, like let's say D'Angelo Williams becomes available, Le'Veon Bell gets hurt, D'Angelo becomes available, we know he's going to be really good. I'm probably not going to be the one who gets him. I'm usually the one who saves my money to get more guys rather than just one guy and spend almost all of it. But I am also the guy
and when
who...
When you get those four guys, what's the total amount that you're spending?
Oh, I don't even know that I could give an answer, but I like to get guys for $3 or $4.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, out of 100. And I'm all, like, I think it's really important to try to get Antonio Dixon for $15 at some point, even when you mean to get the other Carlos Williams. That worked out really well for me.
And also, I think, you know, with fab, it comes down to $0 bids if you have those available to you.
Yeah, very important.
Because that makes it huge. You know, you can go crazy and then still be able to make, you know, your kicker moves or your DST moves and not have to worry about it.
Okay, let's go to the next question from BJ Hatch. Week 17 flex question. Randall Cobb, Bilal Powell, or Darren Sproles in a standard scoring league? Randall Cobb, Bilal Powell, or Darren Sproles?
I would take Powell.
I would too.
I'm just still nervous about Cobb and how he's been playing. The track record isn't good. I don't have a good reason for him being a breakout candidate this week. Same thing with Sproles. Although Sproles is playing on turf, if I recall.
No, MetLife.
MetLife?
Yeah. Is that grass or turf?
That's grass.
You sure?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's grass. It's not a fast surface, put it that way. It's normal.
Right.
From what I understand. I'd like to go to the game, by the way. I'm going to try to make that happen. Here's Alex Paolo.
Hold on. Why?
Because I've never been to a game there, and tickets are kind of cheaper.
They have field turf at MetLife. So usually when there's field turf, you're going to see Sproles get 10 or so touches.
This is Murray's going to have a ton of work.
I wrote this on Twitter yesterday. I thought that like DeMarco could absolutely
have
a big
it before
game.
Chip got fired too.
But now I feel like it's going to absolutely happen. Like this is the reason to play FanDuel this week is DeMarco Murray.
Okay. What's next here? Oh, Alex Paolo. Why are head-to-head leagues so popular? Seems as if people shy away from total points leagues, IDP, two quarterback leagues, etc. Well, let's eliminate the total points thing, but why, you know, should people start playing more different types of formats, two quarterback leagues, IDP, those things?
It's for somebody who is tired of the format. Like, it sounds like Alex is tired of just the basic standard scoring league, and he wants something that's a little spicier. IDP is a lot of work, assuming that you actually use multiple IDPs. There's some IDP leagues, and they're like, yeah, we start two defensive players.
Right, just to make it.
Yeah, that's not enough. Like, we're in an IDP league where we're using eight each week.
I kind of like
with an IDP flex, and it's crazy.
What I would do with IDP leagues is I would do one player at each spot, a defensive lineman, a linebacker, and a DB, and then a flex. So you're at least getting some intrigue of the IDP level of it.
Is that a good like starting spot?
Yeah. And then see, you know.
And then if you like it, you can grow from
there. That's
the
way I would start it.
You can almost double it everywhere.
Okay. I was going to say I like two quarterback leagues. 10-team two quarterback leagues are fun.
10-team two quarterback PPR leagues are fun.
Yeah, they really are. Because there's great players on waivers. It's not totally dependent on quarterback. Okay, from Dylan B. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Huh?
So I had to look that up.
That's from...
Monty Python, yeah.
That's
a movie I need to rewatch. I haven't seen that in years.
Put that on the off-season movie watching list.
Eduardo Espinoza. Any off-season competitions to decide next year's draft order, like a March Madness bracket challenge or something like that?
I love that idea, where you and everybody in your league gets together and you do whoever has the best bracket in the tournament gets the top pick or gets to choose where they want to pick in the draft. I love that. I think that that's fun.
Okay, a couple more here from Dan M. You've got Zoe, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg trapped on a sinking ship. You can only save two of them. Who do you save and why?
This is a question for you.
Yeah, it's for me.
Go ahead.
I mean, look, obviously I would save you guys, but...
You leave Zoe?
I love Zoe. I gotta tell you, that cat is amazing. She is terrific.
I gotta think about this. So if it was Alvin, my dog, and the two of you, would I save Alvin and let one of you die?
I mean, the correct answer is you save the pet. We could fend for ourselves.
What if you're tied up? I would save the two of you and let my dog die.
Yeah,
I would
you
do
have
it because
to.
I like you guys. But if I didn't like you guys, one of you would be gone.
I don't have a pet, but I would save myself over the two of you.
Why don't you get a pet, Jamie?
I'm sure I will eventually with two kids. No, I would see. The thing that we would do is I'm trying to think of a way. No, I guess one of us is dead.
All right, here's one from Kenneth. Where's Kenneth from?
Kenneth is from Pomona, California.
I listen to your podcast every day on my 90-minute drive to work. That is a long commute, man. That's wow. My question is for DFS regarding a high-risk, high-reward value DST. Should I go with Dallas or Tennessee? Who would you guys go with in FanDuel or DFS?
I like the idea of Dallas. We're going to start to find out what the Redskins' plan is today.
They're not playing guys.
I wouldn't.
So stupid.
But I read a mailbag with Mike Jones. I think it was Mike Jones of the Washington Post who thinks that they will play their guys because they want to keep the momentum going.
So stupid.
I agree. But listen, football is a crazy game, and if a coach is worried that the team's going to slack off and not play like themselves because they take an extra week off, then he's got the right to let them go out there and play. But I also think that here's what I think will really happen is that all the regular starters will go for Washington, and by the middle of the second quarter, they're off the field. And they'll treat it like a preseason game.
That's stupid. It's stupid.
Why is that stupid?
Because all it takes, you have Jordan Reed who gets hurt, the wind blows the wrong direction. You have DeSean Jackson playing with a bad knee.
If I were coach, he would absolutely not play.
Matt Jones playing with a bad hip. And if
he would not play.
And if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, you're screwed.
It's true.
You're screwed.
And I would start
on
Dallas.
Top of that,
by the way.
A good defense. Huh?
I would start Dallas for $200.
I would too.
More.
I would start Dallas also.
But I don't think Tennessee is going to be that terrible if it's not Andrew Luck.
Well, the other thing is you have Dallas at home and Tennessee's on the road.
Let me run through the rest of these emails here and tweets. This is from Matt Stars. Seems like other than Gurley and Hill the last 2 years, the rookie running backs are not making the same impact as years past. What gives?
Opportunity. And listen, they were many of them were given opportunities this year, and they just didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Abdullah had a chance. He couldn't do it. Melvin Gordon kept getting chances. He didn't even score a touchdown this year.
Yep.
Bastard. And he's so there's just, you know, compare it to David Johnson, who when he got his opportunity, he took advantage. So maybe opportunity isn't the right word. It was just
DeVoice Allen
ability.
That's
a good one. So I think that there are guys who made an impact. It's just not like how it was. I don't know. It feels like maybe 4 years ago. Well, and I guess maybe last year.
No, it was the Lacey, Le'Veon Bell group.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
All right. From Dustin McCall, Adam Sandler or Will Ferrell?
Two overrated comedians.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I just listened to a Sandler interview with Stern last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. So I've got Sandler on the mind, but the last good movie he's made, I don't know if I can name it.
I like the movie called Just Go With It.
Yes,
that was funny.
I haven't even seen it.
That's what Jeff
I haven't been like motivated to see an Adam
but they're
Sandler
all the same.
In a while.
Yeah, they're all the same. No, look, Adam Sandler got way too like family and his career just has been, I mean, look, he's done some really good stuff.
15 years ago?
I would say that, that I peaked at the Waterboy.
Well, let's not, no,
ago,
not peak at the Waterboy.
15 years ago, I would have seen the Notorious or the Ridiculous Six. Like, I don't even know the name of the movie. This Netflix movie that he's got. I would be waiting to see it.
Mama said that the Ridiculous Seven is better than the Ridiculous Six.
Yeah, well. 7 minute abs. Sorry, you just reminded me of that. But anyway, I think Ferrell's a better actor, but Sandler, like, you guys probably don't even remember this or like, cause you were kind of too old for it, but Adam Sandler released a few CDs and some of the bits on the CDs were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his early stuff.
They're all going
to
laugh at you.
His early stuff is fantastic. You ever seen the movie Funny People?
I hate that movie. No, I don't hate that movie. I don't like it though.
There are parts of it that are great and there are parts of it that are just, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's like two different movies.
That's my thing. It's like, what does that movie want to be? Really serious, right, or really funny?
But the beginning of the movie when they show like the outtakes of him making prank phone calls.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. If you watch the beginning of it, like the opening credits, it's hysterical.
I'm going to force you guys to make a pick. Adam Sandler or Will Ferrell?
Sandler. Will Ferrell's, he's the same guy in every movie.
Yeah, but so is Sandler. I'll say Will Ferrell.
I'll say Sandler, but I love Will Ferrell. And I actually do want to see the movie with him and Wahlberg. All right, hey, listen. The You're Not You Player of the Week is presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies, and this week's You're Not You Player. I'm going to go with Delanie Walker. We haven't really talked about him. He just wasn't himself. He was great in PPR, 9 catches, but only 59 yards on 15 targets. And I just wonder, do you get any concern about Delanie Walker without Marcus Mariota? Is that a reason to consider sitting him?
No. I mean, Indy's terrible against tight ends, and I think, you know, I can understand it for Zach Miller. I could definitely understand it for Zach Ertz. But, like, I'm not going to start Will Tye over him. I'm not going to go, you know, with maybe, even though Jacob Tambi's got a great matchup, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do Ryan Griffin, who's got a great matchup because he's got quarterback issues too. So if Walker's been your guy, you stick with Walker.
He's my number two tight end in PPR leagues.
Okay.
I think he can do better. He's number two in standard too. I think he can definitely take advantage of the matchup this week. And Tennessee's just one of those teams. They can't run the ball at all. So they have to throw, and that plays into Delanie Walker, who's basically the number one receiver for them.
And your satisfying performer of the week is brought to you by Snickers. Snickers satisfies. This week's satisfying performer was Buck Allen. Welcome back. 18 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown, plus 5 catches for 35 yards against the Steelers. What about this week at Cincinnati? Is Terrence West still going to play a role? What do you think about Javoris Allen?
He's a low-end number two guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he can do 114 total yards and a touchdown. Wouldn't surprise me if he scored. I don't think he can get you more than like 80 yards. He's definitely a number two with a shot at being a number one.
Oh, I wouldn't go that high. I think he's.
I think they use him so much.
Yeah, but that game was so fluky. I think Baltimore spent themselves in that game against Pittsburgh. They got to go on the road now.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be tough for them.
Buck Allen.
I like that
Eddie
he
Macy.
Caught five passes from Ryan.
Oh Mell. Yeah, I mean he'll be involved. I just don't. I think it's closer to what he was. He's not gonna be as bad as he was the two previous games, but I don't think he's anywhere close to what he did last week.
Buck Allen or Eddie Lacy?
Lacy.
I think I have Lacy ranked higher. I'm not sure.
Buck Allen.
But I want to say Allen.
Buck Allen or DeMarco Murray.
I'm going to change it, so it's Buck Allen.
Buck Allen or DeMarco Murray.
I'll go with DeMarco.
Yeah, why not?
Well, because there's a three-headed monster there. We don't know how it's going to play out.
No, we don't. But I think there's more. I just think the Bengals crushed the Ravens.
What if Pat Shurmur is like loyal to Chip Kelly and he's like, "You bastard, DeMarco Murray, you helped get my friend fired. You're cut."
And they cut him before the game?
Yeah, they cut him.
That'd be a little wild.
All right, let's finish up with the trustometer. 0 to 10. 0 is must sit. 10 is don't even think about sitting this guy. He's a must start. Aaron Rodgers against Minnesota.
I'm going to put him at 7. I still think he's good enough to start. I feel like he can bring the magic back this week at home with a home playoff game on the line.
All right, Eddie Lacy, same matchup, Jamie.
Yeah, 7. I mean, he had 100 yards against them the last time, and I believe they're healthy for that game, you know, with all their defensive guys that came back last week. So, I mean, look, we've seen the guy when he gets to work. He's been good the last month.
Now, do we know about the status of the tackles for Green Bay?
Not yet.
No.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Lamar Miller against New England.
6?
Yeah.
Well, that's actually higher than I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
Look, he got work last week.
He did.
If they're playing from behind, I don't think that's Ajayi time.
His touchdown was really weird because Ajayi got 2 shots at it.
Right. Yep. And he couldn't do it, and then he got the 3rd shot.
But on the first drive, or like an earlier drive, Miller was in, Ajayi wasn't at the goal line. So yep. I'm just going to guess they're going to split work there. All right. Doug Baldwin at Arizona. Trustometer.
6.
Yeah. I'm not ready to go crazy on Doug Baldwin.
I wonder where Peterson lines up because he beat them last time. He had over 100 yards and a touchdown against them in the first matchup.
Do you know if Peterson was on him then?
I don't, but you know he was playing in the slot then.
So what was I going to say? Doug Baldwin, I think he's good, and I think we're just forget this week. I'm talking really more next year. I think we found out that he's a good player, you know, and he just needed the targets. How are you guys going to rank Doug Baldwin going into 2016?
He'll be probably in that high-end number 3 range, you know, just thinking about it off the top of my head.
I think he'd be a little higher than that. I think people are going to want to take a chance on him, hoping that he proved enough this offseason that Seattle finds a way to get him more involved.
No, I don't disagree with that. But, I mean, you know, like I'm not ranking him over Dez, who obviously has been out, over Alshon, depending on where he's playing, over, you know, the guys who are beat up and banged up and, you know, didn't play to their levels. You know, there's going to be a lot of changes going on. Like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, I'd rather have Amari Cooper over him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't think he's a top 24 guy.
Really?
I think he's a top 30 guy.
I think he's going to be closer to 24 than 30. And he might be closer to 20 than 24.
I want to know what Jimmy Graham's health is, because all of this has come with Jimmy Graham out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And don't forget, Marshawn Lynch wasn't there, and now Thomas Rawls has been out. So this is still going to be a run-first team.
By the way, Patrick Peterson did not allow even a catch in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus, in the Week 10 game against the Seahawks.
So that was not against him.
Right.
But now he did just play a guy in the slot because he followed Randall Cobb last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine
that would make sense.
All right, a few more. Danny Woodhead at Denver.
I mean, you kind of know what he is. You know, they have no receivers and no running back. So I think he's a safe number 2. So I'll say 7.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson at the Bears.
10.
Yeah, he destroyed them last time.
He's destroyed them 5 straight games.
Anytime he gets targets, he's fine.
He'll get targets.
CJ Anderson against San Diego.
I like him this week. You know, I think this was the game where, you know, had them both as a start of the week, the first matchup, and they didn't deliver. But, you know, he ran well in that game. I mean, whenever he's been healthy, he's looked like a different guy.
I feel like he just needs a big run. Now, against San Diego, I think he can find it. So he's a top 24 running back for me, barely. I'll give him the six.
Last one. Had a terrible game the first time, but they missed him on a deep ball, I think on their opening possession or early in the game. Sammy Watkins against the Jets.
That was the first play of the game first against play. Revis.
Yeah, okay. What do you think, Sammy Watkins, 0-10?
I think he's a number two guy. I don't think he's going to have a huge game.
But you're still going to start him. I don't see a situation where you're really going to bench Sammy Watkins. You're going to trust him. So
And you know, what we did see last week was first game without Woods, first game without Clay, and Watkins struggled a little bit. You know, you can now significantly roll coverage in his direction. So it's going to be Revis and a safety over top, most likely.
All right, fellas. Tomorrow we will preview some games. We'll do two podcasts tomorrow. One's going to air on Friday. Probably not going to get to emails, but if you've been sending them, I've at least been trying to respond. So fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And again, we have off-season podcasts at least once a week, the entire off-season, until, of course, we get closer to June, July. We'll ramp it up a little bit, but we don't go away. So fantasyfootball@cbsi.com is the email address. I'm Adam Azer for Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Fellas, do your thing. Say goodbye.
Bye.